Shire. Turn your porch lights off because we're coming home with a trophy.
Hey there, welcome to Sharkcast Pod, a podcast dedicated to the greatest sporting club in the history of the world, the mighty Cronulla Sutherland Sharks, four wins in a row, marching on up the ladder. My name is Sam Shinazzi. I am an OG from 2015, and this show is brought to you by Dyson Logistics, the Royal Motor Yacht Club in Port Hacking, and our good mate Jason Hawes at Cripps & Cripps Real Estate. Get in touch with us, sharkcastpod at gmail.com. We're on the social medias at sharkcastpod. I haven't even had a sip of this coffee yet, Gary, but I'm talking twice my speed. I don't know what's going on, but I kind of like it. Gary Dover, thank you for coming into Sharkcast land again. And
thank you for having me.
Your presence is just making this day even brighter than the gloomy day it is outside.
It's a bit gloomy, but it's good to be back. Hello to all the Sharkcast family out there.
They love you, man. And we love you, and thanks for coming on. How's your week been? What's going on?
Not too bad. A little bit chilled down at the club at the moment because we've got a bit of a bye.
So
well, not a bye, but a stand-down round.
I was going to ask you, in my head, you're just sitting around watching 2016 replays and...
Basically, just got the NBA on, you know, NBA. Just chilling in the office.
Yeah.
But no, we've got heaps to do. There's plenty of work always happening. So if it's not planning for 2022, it's doing something to do with the next few games. We're starting to plan around the Warriors' next home game. Got a few things happening there, but
COVID,
man, it's ruined everything again. So we've kind of put those plans on hold, but hopefully we can share that news soon.
I do like the, whenever I talk to you about things, you're like, oh, I'm working on 2023 strategies. And I'm like, what?
I'm planning ahead. I'm
How about you worry about this year?
I know. Well, I've got things in order for this year, I feel. What are you saying? I haven't done a good job so far?
That's not what I'm saying. Did I say that?
That's what I'm hearing.
People are tweeting and saying, get on with the show. And I say to those people, be patient.
There's plenty to talk about.
There's a lot going on in Sharkland, Gary. I want to thank everyone for tuning in to the show. It's been really humbling and awesome to get the support from you guys and girls, so we appreciate that. And let's get on with the news, Gary. We'll start with the biggest news, I would imagine. When I sent you this rundown, it was a rumor. Now it's true.
Yes.
Your mate and mine, Chad Townsend, is now officially a Warrior again for the second time. He's going to finish out the remainder of the year with New Zealand.
He is.
And I was just thinking, it just dawned on me, they're actually, at this stage, not in New Zealand. So
Central Coast.
It's not that bad a move for him at the moment. I wonder if that had a... impact.
I'm not sure. I've heard that Nathan Brown reached out to him, or he reached out to Nathan Brown, or whatever way it was, but they're in a bit of all sorts with their halves at the moment, a few injuries, and he probably plugs a gap that they need to plug at the moment, and, you know, he's got that opportunity to go and play first grade again, so he's grabbed it, and we've let him go, save ourselves a bit of money, so it's good. Good for him.
So we'll play him, in theory, twice.
Yes.
Which is pretty...
Yes.
Pretty interesting.
It will be, especially in 2 weeks, so... I was speaking to him yesterday. He said he's going to run out against the Dragons for his first game next week for them. And then, yeah, he'll be up against us the following week back at Netstrata, which will be strange.
The revenge of Chad.
Very strange, I know. So we'll see how he goes. But, yeah, stoked for him to get back into our first grade side. And,
yeah,
you
he's
know,
too good
play a bit of footy.
For New South Wales Cup, with all respect to New South Wales Cup. And,
yeah.
And we're both stoked for him to get back to the top grade. And I'm not going to say secretly. I hope that he plays his butt off. And
yeah, for sure.
I don't want to lose the Warriors, but I hope he's like one of the best players on the field.
Well, they've just picked up Watene Zalesniak as well.
Who is cousins with Jardine Ormsby.
Hey, Jards, yes. So, you know, they haven't got a bad side starting to build there. I know Chad's only there for the rest of the year, but, you know, it'll be interesting to see because they're pushing for that top eight spot. I think they're in the 11th or something like that. So
yeah, they're in contention.
We'll see how it goes. But, yeah, big move last night.
It's an interesting story, the Chad Townsend one, and it does remind me now of all the things that he loves, which is American athletes, tap on the shoulder, next day you're moving on, you're going somewhere else, and he's getting around. He started at Cronulla, went to the Warriors, came back to Cronulla, he's going to the Warriors, going to the Cowboys, as was on all of the Instagram stories I saw last night by the Sharks players, the ultimate professional is what they're calling
absolutely.
Him. And I just want to point out that obviously he's had a lot of detractors amongst our fan base.
Yes.
Which is, you know, whatever. That's people's opinions. I can't change that, nor do I want to. But every single player who has an Instagram account last night, from the Sharks in particular, but also other players, were online publicly displaying their affection for him as a man, as a player, as a human. And that says a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Because they didn't have to do that.
He is the ultimate professional on and off the field. He's like, I consider him a good mate of mine. And I had a chat to him yesterday and he said, like, what's going on? Are you out here? And, you know, sure enough, it came to fruition. But, yeah, like, you
what's
see
his
him.
Vibe?
See him. Oh, he's just a good bloke. Like
now, is he?
Oh, happy? He's still happy. He's upbeat, you know. He knows he wasn't part of the future plans here. And that was his decision to not take up the contract extension and, you know, take up that offer at the Cowboys. So, I mean, no one wants to see him run around in, not all respect to the Jets, but we don't want to see him run around for the Jets. He's our first premiership winning halfback. He's a first grader. And yeah, like he took that news when he got dropped and just ran with it. He was the ultimate professional. We were up at Coffs Harbour that next week and, you know, he was doing everything he could to help the team. And he's just that type of guy. And, you know, I speak to him a lot about things outside of football and his business ventures. And he helps me out with a bit of stuff. So hopefully we can continue those little conversations. And yeah, he's just a good dude, Chad.
He supplies you with Cronulla beer.
Plenty of booze. Good drop.
I hadn't really heard the term side hustle before, Chad Townsend.
Yes. He does it all, really. He does it all. And he does it himself. He'll get on YouTube and learn everything that he needs to learn about video editing or podcasts.
It's inspiring, man.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. Good work ethic.
We don't have confirmation, but Sean Johnson has been circled by the Bulldogs, and we believe that's getting closer.
Yeah, I've heard the rumours. So, I mean, what happens to poor old Kyle there?
I don't know. I mean, he's got a contract, so...
But, yeah, I think, well, those rumours are starting to sort of circulate a bit more widely now and
I would
getting a bit of steam behind them.
I would be thinking that Kyle could play number 9, maybe.
Yeah, right.
To change for him, but he's good defensively.
Interesting.
He is a decent halfback. Maybe he'd be a really good hooker. I don't know. He's tough.
It's only one way to find out.
Well, he might have to if he stays there, but who knows what's going to happen in this circus of the NRL.
A week's a long time in the NRL, Shinazzy.
A day is a long time in the NRL.
That's true.
I wanted to talk to you about some player rumours.
Oh, what ones?
I'm not a huge fan of rumours, but they seem to find me and us and you. What have I heard this week? I have heard a few Roosters players being named, which makes sense because our incoming coach is a Rooster. Someone sent me a text about some forwards. One was Jared Waria-Hargraves.
I've heard that rumor on the social spaces.
I'm pretty cool with that.
Yeah.
He's a tough nut. He plays big minutes. He plays whole games sometimes.
Yeah.
And he's not young.
Yeah.
Off the field, angelic, I'm led to believe, which is, you know, yin and yang, as they say. Yeah. And I would be more than okay with that. And I think it's something that we need, that tougher edged forward who, you know, we're not sure what's going to happen with Andrew Fifita, but bring in that kind of attitude that Andrew's got.
And even just that experience as well. Like, we're obviously losing Woodsy. We don't know what's going on with Aiden Tolman yet. And then, yeah, as you said, Andrew's still up in the air a little bit. So, if you lose those three guys, you kind of need someone with a bit of experience to come and lead that young pack. So, he kind of ticks all those boxes. He's got that aggression. He knows how to play the game. And he's been in a good system at the Roosters under, well, being assisted by Craig Fitzgibbon.
Yeah.
So, it kind of makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It does. Again, I would wholeheartedly bring him in. I think you know what you're getting with him, whereas other people have been rumoured like Marty Tapau on his day, unbelievable, but that day is in every game.
Yeah,
And you're paying decent money for him.
The consistency factor with Waria-Hargraves, you know you're kind of going to get it every game,
yeah,
or there or thereabouts, whereas Martin Tapau's chalk and cheese some games. So.
Yeah, and I think he will bring in that kind of 2016 vibe as well,
yeah.
like a tough nut who won't take a backward step, he'll stick up for his mates, that kind of thing. And I get the feeling the Fitzgibbon attitude is going to be all about mateship and that kind of thing. For want
of
a better
word. Looking forward to it. It's going to be
interesting. See you in the inner circle.
Yeah. We'll see.
Lifting weights.
See what I can do.
I've heard more rumours, Gary. I've heard we're after a centre.
Yeah. Someone messaged me. I forget who it was on Twitter. And they said, I hear we're looking for a centre.
Mr. Rothfield might have put that
sparked
in one of his columns.
Okay.
I'm yet to hear a named centre. I just keep hearing centres. So.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting one. I mean, like,
because
we've heard Connor Tracy's going to be playing in the centres.
Yeah, if what we hear is correct, which may change, but we have heard that Tracy, you would think Jesse gets the other one. He's going okay and he's on a longer contract.
Yeah.
And then I would probably keep Will around as a backup. Yeah, I don't know where an extra centre fits in there.
What about Connor to the seven?
I think it's unproven at a high level.
Yeah.
And I think that Trindle's got the running there.
But we're talking about, everyone's been talking about Nico Hines is going to be playing in the seven.
Yeah.
Or in the halves at least, that's what we've heard. And then we're hearing that Moylan's going to get re-signed, which I'm not sure where that's at. Yeah, so obviously we need a seven who can steer the ship around. Connor's played there before, done a good job. So you put Tricky above Connor if it came to a fight for the seven jersey?
At the moment, yeah. Because I think Trindle's got more experience at a higher level doing it. And I think he's probably more of an organizer than what Connor would be.
Yeah. Okay.
And I do think that at the moment, Connor's strengths are more in his agility, speed, strength, rather than his playmaking.
I like him in the centers. I do like that move.
I find it bizarre, but I'm sure he can do it. I like it.
Yeah. Well, you look at like Matt Burton for the Panthers. He's kind of plays a similar game where he's got a bit of pace. He knows how to read what's going on inside and outside of him.
I think he's the sort of guy, Gaz, that you can put him anywhere and you'll be happy with him.
Yeah. I don't want him on the wing anymore.
No, I agree. I agree. And I think
he's not a winger.
I think that your mate Sione's coming back pretty soon.
Yeah, he's been playing for the Jets. So.
He'll be hard to keep out. Like, he was going really well.
He's a finisher.
And deserves his shot. He's a finisher. He's probably a better defender on the wing these days. So,
but then Connor's a good finisher too.
He is.
Connor can do it all, can't he?
He can. And he'll be in our 17 somewhere.
Has to be.
For years to come.
But see, that's where I come back to Tricky. I feel like he's playing that utility role off the bench really well at the moment where he goes into the middle and he's kind of that ball-playing lock. Like, he's a good defender, a really good defender for a little guy.
He is. And I just don't know if that's going to be his long-term position.
Yeah.
Like, keep doing it this year, get some experience.
Yep.
I get the feeling that if they don't sign a big name, a bigger named halfback, like a Mitchell Pearce who's been rumoured, if they don't go down that avenue, I think that Fitz walks in and he goes, Trindle, impress me over summer and it's yours.
I'm going to throw you another name that's been rumoured on the spaces. Connor Watson.
That has been rumoured,
That has been rumoured. Where would you see him fitting into our side? Does he become that 14?
Who was talking about it on a recent episode? It might have been Josh Bolling, about how Craig Fitzgibbon is building a team that has a lot of versatility in the players. That just, they can play a number of positions. And he's impressed me this year at Newcastle.
Yeah.
I've never been a huge fan, but I've been watching him a bit closer. And because they're going so bad, he stands out as being decent. Like, he's a decent player.
And he's a bit like Connor Tracy. He plays everywhere. Yeah. You know what I mean? He's filled in at fullback, in the halves, in lock position.
He's a bit stockier, but the same vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Interesting one.
He's from the Roosters system. He's had some success there. And I think Craig Fitzgibbon knows what he's getting with him. So I'd be surprised if that doesn't happen.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Yeah. Because I think that he just fits that mold that what Fitzgibbon wants.
Hmm.
It does bring up questions because we've got Cam McInnes coming, who's in a similar role as in mobile, versatile middle forward. He can't do probably the flashier things.
But I don't see McInnes at fullback or halves or anything.
I know that, but I'm saying that, you know, this year Watson will come off the bench and do the Trindle role.
Yeah.
And next year you might not need it if you've got McInnes and Brayley playing.
And he plays pretty big minutes, Connor Watson, for that 14 role. So
he does.
You know, where are those minutes going to come
from? He's definitely handy. He's not going to be necessarily a match winner in a glamorous, spectacular kind of way, but he does a job.
Especially with all the rule changes that we obviously speak about every week. And you know, a game can shift so quickly and you can lose a guy in a position who goes off for a sin bin or a head injury or whatever it is. And you just know with Connor Watson, you can kind of plug that hole fairly easily. He's almost like, oh no, it's a different sort of player. I was going to say Teague, you know, if we get an injury in the backs, Teague's just going straight to the centers.
Well, he can,
covers it really well.
And I think that, I think Fitzgibbon kind of will be pushing for that kind of a team. I mean, it can get a bit confusing where you just have 13 versus
lots of
guys.
Utilities.
That might get confusing, but I guess the more people that can cover more positions, you're in a pretty good spot.
Absolutely.
You're not chopping and changing too much.
That's right.
Now, your mate Ronaldo.
Yes, Big Ronnie.
One of the great humans in the world. He is in Origin camp.
He is 19th man for Queensland, so stoked for Ronnie. Very good experience for him. He's soaking it all in, so yeah, it's well deserved. He's sort of spoke to a couple of journalists after our, I think it was the Dragons game. About, you know, they were razzing him up about, are you going to make the Queensland side? Should you be there? And he was like, look, I was pretty upset with the way I played and didn't get picked, and I've got a chip on my shoulder, and I'm going to go out there and prove that I deserve it. I bleed Maroon is basically what he was saying, and it's good to see him get the call up, even if it's in that 19 jersey, just for that experience for him as a young guy.
Yeah, or if someone goes down this week beforehand, you know,
exactly, might get a shot straight in. Could impress so much that he just gets thrown in there.
Yeah, and he deserves it. He's worked hard to get to where he is. He's still improving, still getting better every week, but. Yeah. He's come back from injury really well.
Absolutely.
Obviously.
Especially when it was, you know, rumoured that it could be a season-ending injury, and he just did what he had to do and got it right, and now he's back out there, so it's good to see.
And you people at the Sharks made a very beautiful video of him and a young chap called Conrad who's been quite sick.
Yes.
And the story was Ronaldo, was it at Magic Round?
No, I think, did we play the Eels in round 4? Whenever we played the Eels at Bank West, so Conrad and his family had tickets from Ronald McDonald House. They were given tickets, and he made a little sign and held it up for the whole game, and Ronnie saw it. And at the end of the game, he went over and gave him his jersey and just said, stay strong, mate. And you know what Ronnie does, he's a real motivator and a real good bloke. And
absolutely.
Then a little relationship blossomed from there, and Conrad wanted to return the favour, so he presented Ronnie with his playing jersey from last year, which was awesome.
And he broke the big man.
Yeah.
And we broke all of us when we watched it. But
I was going to say, there was a few tears in the eyes. It's a good little piece. So, you know, we wish Conrad and his family all the best, and we're, as a Sharks family, they're right in there with the family as well, so we'll be supporting them throughout this journey.
It's good that the club and, you know, let's face it, you and your few colleagues that work in that area are able to document that kind of thing and put it out there for the fans. It's a good insight into the club. So
it happens more often than people think, and it's good to be able to get those good stories out there, because there's a lot of negativity in the world of rugby league, and especially on social media. So to just drop a bit of positivity in there, it's always good.
I think certain people would be surprised at how often clubs and especially players do things to brighten up people's world.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, it's daily.
That happens every week. I could tell you a story. Like, you look at up at, where did we play the Titans? No, did we play the Titans the game before? Cowboys, sorry. Up at Queensland Country Bank. You saw Will and Aaron Woods, Will Kennedy and Aaron Woods up the stairs to that man in the wheelchair. So they do that every week.
Yeah.
Someone does. So it's good
to see. Great stuff. Newtown Jets, Gary, they're hot and cold. Last week they were hot. They won 26-12 against essentially Manly at Henson Park. A good second half performance. And we saw some tries to some superstars we know. Luke Metcalf with the double.
Yep.
Haroti Nene in the corner with a spectacular try.
Was a good one.
And our friend Chad kicked some goals as well. Very strong wind.
Yeah, I heard that. I was speaking to Andrew Fafita during the week, and he said it was the craziest wind he's ever played in, and they were running into it for the first half.
Yes.
They just knew if they could hang on for a little bit, they'd be right in the second, and there was a bit of sledging going on between the two teams apparently, and Andrew just said, you'll see, wait for the second half. And
Manly sure Cronulla, they should back. Always be sledging. How Manly Cronulla. The Blacktown workers, I should say. So, Gary, on Friday night we have State of Origin women's game.
Yes.
Very exciting stuff.
It is.
And we have five Sharks, Harvey Norman women's premiership players playing, which is fantastic. A couple on debut as well. And that team's going particularly well.
They are in the finals now. Yes. So that starts, 2 weeks away?
Is it? Yeah, there's a little break. Yep. Yeah. So
see, for Origin, same as the men. So, yeah, they're going really, really well.
Do you know anything about us and our chances of getting a women's team in the future? Have you heard anything?
I haven't heard anything, but you look at the women that we're developing, and obviously you look at years ago, we were pioneering women's rugby league, and it was so disappointing. Everyone at the club was a bit bummed that we didn't get that first initial side. And
those who follow, well, for example, the Harvey Norman team, you get to know the players, and then the NRLW comes along, and you're like, oh, you're playing for the Roosters. Yeah. The like you're killing
it. It's like that.
Can't support you.
I know that's sort of the next phase for us is, you know, we need to make a decision. Are we going to keep pursuing it? Which I'm sure we will.
Yeah.
Because we've got the talent there.
It certainly can't hurt.
It's something we've been building for a long time. Yeah. And, you know, quite frankly, we deserve a spot. So if the NRL is listening.
Well, they're listening. People in the NRL listen. Sometimes they get in touch.
That's good.
Tell us things we can and can't do. And I reply and go, I can do whatever the hell I want. Gary. Have you got any more news, or is that the end of the news?
That's kind of the end of the football news. I'll tell you what, Mr. Paisley's this morning. I'm just going to give him a plug right now because I have never had a banana bread from there.
Oh, dude.
And it is the world's greatest banana bread.
It is good.
So if you're in North Caringbah, drop into Mr. Paisley's and get a banana bread.
We are not sponsored by them, but you would be surprised by the amount of times a few certain staff members mention to me that they heard the show being sponsored, being mentioned. And I'm like, yeah.
It's our favorite local jaunt, so get on board.
How else can we help you? I'm here three times a week, a day, I should say.
Yes. But no, that's all the news.
And
that's
I appreciate
all the news
you
got.
Bringing the coffee around
anytime,
too. Usually it's a six-pack, but today we're a bit earlier and we've gone for the coffee. All right, let's have a little break and then we'll come back and talk about the... Who do we play?
Cowboys.
Beautiful. Yes. This is Sharkcast Pod with special regular guest host Gary Dobar. Dyson Logistics have been on board with Sharkcast since day one. And because of that and their excellent service, we are proud to be associated with them. Dyson Logistics provides tailored logistical solutions to meet your individual client needs and is set apart by its personalized service. Dyson is a strong worldwide agent network, enabling highly competitive rates. And I should also point out their head honcho is a lifelong season ticket holder of the mighty Cronulla Sutherland Sharks. Find them online, www.dysonlogistics.com, or call them on 02-8339-1844. Dyson Logistics, service delivered.
Orbison, the first man play. The ball goes to ground. It was a terrible pass. Ferguson couldn't pick it up. And now Fecky's away. He skipped away from Kenny Dowell. And the Sharks run to victory number 14 in a row.
Okay, welcome back to the show, Sharkcast Pod, with special regular guest host Gary Dover. This show is brought to you by Dyson Logistics, the Royal Motor Yacht Club in Port Hacking, and Jason Hawes at Cripps and Cripps Real Estate. Gary, we are killing it on the field. Four in a row.
And off.
We know about the off. You guys are going so good. We're the best ever.
I just need to get it in there, you know.
We can't stop building real estate. I know.
Crack up.
Eighth place. Six and eight. We beat the Cowboys 26-24. It looked like it was going to be a big score.
Oh, gosh.
And then we let them
we
back
love
into
to
it.
Do it, don't we?
It was 12-0 after 13 minutes. Let them back into it. It got to, what, like 14-10, 14-12. Then we broke out again. It was 26-12 and let them right back in, which was disappointing. Josh Hannay's remarks afterwards were that the Sheds were almost like a loss, not like a win. But to their credit, they held out and they won. Played some good footy along the way.
Yes.
We saw some spectacular moments. One from Will Kennedy, which will be in the highlight reels
forever. How good is it? Superman. Love it.
It's a big play because they're on the attack. They were coming back. If they get that set of six down there, we
Who
could
knows?
Crack.
And it was so far out. Like it I don't was. Know how he looked at that and went, yeah, I'm going for this. Because a lot of people would have, I would have just
There
gone,
was
yeah,
good no. communication with him and Connor Tracy because when you do that.
Someone's got to be there.
Yeah.
So
if,
it was good.
If no one's there, they score a try as well. So,
but yeah, what a moment.
He had a really good game, Will Kennedy. He's going good every week. He set up that beautiful try on the left with the, what was it, like almost in and away.
Yes.
And
so good.
Is that from a scrum?
Silky smooth. Yeah, we love the scrum players.
We do.
It was off the scrum.
So, Will Kennedy, fantastic game. He ran for almost 200 metres.
All of our back five over 100 metres in this game.
I say he's going... I was going to say he's quietly doing his thing, but people are talking about him everywhere. Like, he's on...
It's good.
...in mainstream press.
He deserves it.
He does.
He's really taking his game to the next level, as we've mentioned plenty of times before on this show.
And there's further in there to
That's
go.
That's the like best part.
Yeah.
He's still got plenty of development to do, and he knows that. And
same with a lot of these guys, which is very, very exciting.
It is. Young squad, and we're building for the future.
Looking at the stats, Gary, six line breaks each. We need to fix that defense. We actually missed 38 tackles, which for us this year is actually not the worst.
Really?
It's kind of okay-ish.
I steer clear of the missed tackles column.
Do you?
They missed more, so that's
good.
They
did miss more.
I'll tell you who was good for me this week.
Mm?
Our skipper, Aaron Woods.
Yeah, he was.
He was. He was good.
He's been good since he got the tap. It's very bizarre. Should have tapped him earlier.
Well, wonder why.
Well, I get that. It's good.
But
it's good
still, like, it's good to see. It. Yeah, that's the thing I'm kind of pointing out is he's not going into his shell and being like, oh, because I've seen that plenty of times. He you know, throughout the years that people just get that tap and they're like, oh, I'm switching off now. I'm not worrying about it. But he's picked up that role and really ran with it. And he's running a bit harder. He's looking for the offload. He's, you know, just searching a bit more for the ball and getting in there and making his tackles. So it's good.
I get the vibe that he took it so well, they went, oh, you can be captain. Because if he was kicking stones, that kind of thing, then it's not a good look. But he's obviously handled it very well.
Yeah, he's good, Woodsy.
Sean Johnson was good again.
Yes. Yes.
Again, though, I have to say, I thought he should have closed the game out a bit better.
Yeah, there are a few moments there where he made a wrong decision, I guess.
And I say him because he's the guy. He's the one who's...
he's your seven, so he's got to close out those games. And unfortunately, we didn't close it out the way we wanted to, but... I mean, that's not all on Sean, and we know that, but yeah, they're the little moments that we sort of need to get better at, and that's why we end up letting teams back into the game, because we don't ice those moments that we need to.
He had a try assist. He kicked 5 from 5. He did the majority of the general play kicks, which is what I guess we were sort of complaining about Chad having to do that the whole year when Sean was out.
Yeah.
So now it's all on Sean, although he's handling it pretty well. The kicks are decent.
Yeah.
Mostly, the second half, he probably could have closed out a bit better. But with all that pressure on him, he's only 4 or 5 games back from a major injury.
Yeah, that's right. People forget that too. Even I forget that. You know, he had such a massive injury that he needed to get over, and he's still probably tweaking his game to suit the way he plays now. And
wherever he goes, he's going to be good. Like, he's a good player. There's no question about that.
So.
I was very happy to see our forwards go forward.
That's
I really
what they need
was.
To do.
We saw the return of Hamlin Ewele, who we both adore.
Yes.
Didn't get a lot of minutes, but you expect that from, again, returning from a pretty big injury.
That's right.
But he looks solid. He looks solid. And, again, Rudolph, probably the best forward out there. I'll say this about Talakai. I think at least 2 tries we scored were off the back of him doing hit-ups with 13 guys on him. And then the next play, we scored. Like, literally the next play. It happened at least 2 times.
Yeah.
And that's a huge positive for us.
100%. He just draws in defenders left, right, and center. And that's what we need from someone. Like, we don't really have that from anyone else. Toby does it a bit.
Yeah.
You know, Jack Williams kind of gets 2 on him. But Siffer's always, you look at him running, he's always got 3 guys there trying to get him down. He's such a hard dude to tackle. I've tried to tackle him, but
I can imagine
that he's a hard dude to tackle.
Did let in a try with Matt Moylan. I think it might have been the 1st or 2nd try from the Cowboys. So he can still fix up that kind
of
defense. Yeah.
Anyway.
I thought Jack Williams again was outstanding.
Jack's been great for us all year. We keep saying it. And people kind of, he flies under the radar a bit, Jack, but he gets out there and does exactly what his job is.
Like anything in life, Gary, you get that reputation of whatever that may be. And he's had a reputation for being error-ridden, for example, and probably not as tough as his appearance is, because he's a giant of a man. But this year, he's really going so strong.
Everything's sort of clicked, hasn't it?
Yeah.
So it's good to see. His handling errors are sort of out of his game. Hopefully,
yeah.
I haven't jinxed him, but...
No, but even if he makes one, it's it's not the end of the world now, because they're so minimal.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's going on there. If I don't know if it's coaching. I don't know if it's... his lifestyle, whatever, but he's made a big change.
Absolutely. It's good to see.
What do you think of Valentine Holmes?
No comment.
Why?
Because he plays for the Cowboys, Shinazzy. This is Sharkcast, not Cowgirls.
Whoa. Valcast.
No, look.
He's in good form.
I like Val. He's good. He's a good player. Obviously, he didn't have the best Origin or the week after Origin, but, you know, he turned
Well, I thought he was okay. His teams
Exactly. Yeah. I just mean, like, some players get shot confidence out of those sort of performances and then they don't perform, but... he's that guy that will turn up every week and put in his best for the team. And he's done it again for the Cowboys. Nearly got him home, but glad he didn't.
I'm looking forward to the Chad-Val combination.
Well, we know what it can do.
Yeah.
We know definitely what it can do. So
throw in drink water, who's handy?
They're going to be good next year, the Cowboys. Better.
I thought that Will Chambers, how do I put this? Fitness was found out in the second half. I'm not going to say anything else about that. As in another word I was going to use, but his fitness. And that needs to be addressed or kept an eye on. It was just like a period of like 10 minutes.
Yeah. It's a different game, isn't it? Compared to what he's...
Oh, yeah.
Well, he hasn't played for a long time and he's come in and
been
thrown into this whole new... Well, basically a whole new game.
He's very aware of it. He's a player who owns up to the good and bad that he does. Yeah. He tries to improve every week on that. And
absolutely.
So he'll be, I'm sure, watching a lot of video and trying to work out how to improve on that. Still pretty happy he's there, though, I've got to say. Like, having an experienced guy, he's a bit fiery. I think he's good for those kids.
100%. It's not like he'll back himself. That's the thing we will like. Mm. If he sees an opportunity, he'll rush up and put some pressure on someone. He might not make the tackle, but
the first game against Melbourne, his return, he was almost overdoing it, almost doing too much. And that's proof of point, which I get.
Yeah.
But you're right. He was going for things. And, you know, a quarter of them came off in that game because it was such a...
You literally come back for a couple of weeks and thrown into the NRL. Yeah. It's a storm. It's
but like, you're right.
Always going to stink.
He's not going to, like, die wondering, as they say. Yeah. So.
And he just brings that level of confidence to the guys around him.
Mm.
Like, if someone on the opposition says something to him, you know he's going to say something back. And it just... I've heard, you know, Ronnie talks about it all the time. It just lifts him a bit. Like, yeah, you know, we can do this. Let's get him. Like,
yeah.
So it's good for that.
He and Ronnie had a bit of a mishap. Was it Caulfield's last try? The where sneaky little one?
Yeah, where he got pushed.
Yeah, so Will Kennedy, I think it was Will Kennedy, saved a try there. And then just a sneaky little try from Felt, which was disappointing, and got him right back into the game. So again, I'm not suggesting that things are perfect out there, especially on that left side. But we've got a lot of energy and a lot of firepower. So it's a positive.
Absolutely.
It's a positive. How did the boys react, Gary, like this week, for example?
I wasn't up there, and then they've gone into the bubble. So they trained on the weekend when they came back, but now it's all...
Oh, you're out of the bubble again.
Yes.
You're watching from a distance.
I'm watching from a distance. So a few of the boys actually got away before that. So I think Sean's in New Zealand with his family, and a few people have travelled a few different places. But
is he able to come back?
Yeah. He'll be able to come back. It's only if you're leaving and going over there that you have to hit quarantine and all that sort of stuff. But of course, he got out before the rules got in. He's sweet. And then all the boys that are left in Sydney are in the bubble. So, you know, like, they've got nothing else they can do. I saw Moiser and Connor Tracy down there training. You know, they're just looking after each other, using the time off to keep the body right and get ready for the Broncos.
Matt Mullen again. Good.
Good game. Yep. Another good game. He's starting to find his straps. He's getting a bit of confidence in the hamstrings. And
I think he's found them.
He's good now. After that runaway try, I think.
So that was our fourth win in a row. We haven't done that since 2018. We don't really win away from home this year, Gary, so it was good to win away from home. Yeah, they're going along nicely. I think that the draw is going to be kind to us over the next few months.
The draw isn't too bad.
And we need to make the most of that, because we've been there before, particularly in recent times, this where we've, in inverted commas, had the easiest draw in the history of the world, and we've mucked it up. So
yes.
So it's not a given we're going to win these games, but I've got to tell you, there's some pretty ordinary teams out there.
And if
we're
we
in the middle,
be in the finals and we want to, you know, make a bit of a mark, these are the games that we need to win that are coming up. So,
and I would be addressing that from Josh Hannay's point of view. I'd be saying, look, guys, you've got, you know, 10 games left, whatever it is. Whole bunch of you aren't going to be here next year. It's the end of an era. Why don't we make a pact? And we already say we're going to give it all, but why don't we just make a pact that we're going to finish in the top six and give it an absolute shake when we get there? Let's not be afraid of anyone. Let's just roll our sleeves up. And
where do you see us ending? Top six? You reckon we can get there?
No, I think seventh or eighth. Okay. But I'm saying they should be aiming a bit higher.
Yep.
I'm being a bit more, not realistic, but a bit more, I guess, fatalistic in a sense. But I sort of see us, and we talked about it last week, I sort of see us getting knocked out week two.
Yep.
But I'm saying as a team and as a squad, with the talent they have and the youth, I'd be aiming for obviously higher, and just saying, you know, no one's really going to back us. Let's surprise everyone. Let's shock the world. So,
Newtown Jets, when they came from eighth and
won
everything.
Yeah.
That could be us.
I mean, Penrith and Melbourne are going to be pretty hard to beat, but the teams below them, see Manly, Power, and Roosters, it's not impossible. We've competed with Power and the Roosters. Have we played Manly yet?
No. But first half against the Storm in Melbourne.
Yeah.
If we're on, we're on. Like, we can beat almost anyone.
I don't want our listeners to think that you and I are saying we're going to beat the Panthers and the Storm, because that'll be a lot harder to do.
I thought you were saying we're going to win the Premiership.
I hope so. I wouldn't mind.
We can.
So, that was the game, Gary?
That was it. Another good win. Well, another heart stopper, if you will.
Yeah.
We love to do it to the fans.
Yeah, it's pretty annoying.
Oh,
it's pretty annoying. It's We're 2 points from losing that game. So.
I know. At the end of the day, it's a W.
It is. I'm not taking that away from them. They should be happy with the fourth win. Where we were 5 weeks ago was a disaster.
But even last year, we lost so many close games.
Yeah.
So just to be able to hold on in these ones brings a bit more confidence to
And these ones, goal kicking is not making a difference. You got 5 from 5, Shawnee, so that was great.
Exactly.
Just got to fix up that defense a bit and just play a bit smarter. Again, I think that both halves and maybe even the fullback and hooker need to close out the game better.
Yeah.
So it's not all on Sean. They all need to sort of just take those steps. Moylan's experienced enough that he should know how to close out a game, even though
he's been around for long enough,
so to speak. Yeah,
he knows what he's doing. Everyone needs to sort of step up, don't they?
Including the Digi team. Let's go, Gary, to a break, and we will be back after this break with some letters. This is Shark Cusp Pod with special guest, regular host, Gary Dobler. The Royal Motor Yacht Club Port Hacking is a hidden gem of the Shire, situated on the banks of the beautiful Port Hacking. It's a great place to catch up with friends, celebrate your birthday or any special occasion, and they always show the NRL live on the big screens. They also have live acoustic music on weekends. Yachty's Bistro is open 7 days and nights for lunch and dinner, and they also do a phenomenal breakfast on weekends. If you mention Sharkcast, you get a free garlic bread, baby. The RMYC Port Hacking, proud sponsors of this podcast and big supporters of the Cronulla Sutherland Sharks. Check out their website, rmycph.com.au. They've got a Facebook page, or you could go old school and call them on 02-9523-9300.
The precision of Michael Morgan gives them 6 more tackles, and here is Morgan intercepted by Valentine Holmes. Lachlan Coote coming across. Asiata is also there. He turned Coote inside out.
From Valentine Holmes, the game's top try scorer.
Sharkcast is supported by the best and most honest real estate agent in the Sutherland Shire, Jason Hawes from Cripps & Cripps Real Estate. He's an expert in the Caringbah region and has his eye all across the Shire. Lifelong Sharks fan and supporter of this podcast, if you're looking to buy or sell in the region, the person you need to be talking to is Jason Hawes from Cripps & Cripps Real Estate. Call him on 0410 417 450. That's 0410-417-450. Jason Hawes, Cripps & Cripps Real Estate.
Fafita tries to crash his way over. He does. Fafita got the ball over the line. Michael Innes and Ben Barber celebrate.
Five,
they
mate.
Saw what I saw.
I've got try.
We all saw what you saw.
Okay, welcome back to Sharkcast Pod, brought to you by Dyson Logistics, the legends of the Royal Motor Yacht Club Port Hacking, and our friend Jason Hawes of Cripps & Cripps Real Estate. We are not sponsored by Mr. Paisley's. We are not sponsored by Huxley's, but you were telling me, Gary, you were at Huxley's recently.
I was. I watched the Cowboys game at Huxley's. Had a nice burger, some chicken wings. Get down there and try the chicken wings, P.S.
The burger sauce is unbelievable.
There's lots of unbelievable tasty things at Huxley's, definitely. That and sauce. Beer towers.
Beer tower is good.
Beer towers are always great.
What were you drinking?
I was drinking Reshes.
Reshes?
Yeah, Reshes.
Cool.
Yeah, well, it was good.
Very Australian of you.
Oh, man. Aussie born and bred.
I just
enjoy a schooner of Reshes. Is that all right?
It's a great establishment.
It is. It's great.
I have one complaint before they start sponsoring us.
What?
They shut too early.
That is true.
I'm always getting kicked out.
That is true. Very true.
Guys, it's 9:30, time to leave.
Duck upstairs.
Yeah, that's the thing, but...
I know.
It's not as...
I'd prefer the sports bar.
Not as beautiful upstairs. I'll leave it at that in case those people want to sponsor us. Actually, no, we've already got a great sponsor in the Royal Motor Yacht Club, but Huxley's, if you want to get on board, I do like
jump
burgers
on.
And beers.
All we need is chicken wings once a week.
So, Gary, we're up to the mail section, and as usual, we've got some great mail from our listeners.
It's my favourite section.
I'm glad they've reached out to us at SharkCastPod on the socials and SharkCastPod@gmail.com. Now, I want to hit up David first because he's a loyal listener. He's got a very, very big question.
This is a big question.
And at first, I was confused by the question that he dumbed it down for me because sometimes I need that, sometimes being always. And this is the question. Is the 2021 Valentine Holmes better than the 2021 Will Kennedy? That's a pearl.
Wow. That's a good one to start with, isn't it?
So I brought up some stats for you, Gary, just before you answer. They both played 14 games. Will Kennedy has scored 8 tries. Valentine Holmes has scored 3. Valentine Holmes has kicked 41 goals. Valentine Holmes has run for 2,200 metres. Will Kennedy has run for 1,600 metres. Well, Will Kennedy's got 10 more line engagements, so some people consider that a run, but it's a bit different. But he is engaging the line a bit more. Val's got a few more tackle busts. Now, this is where it gets a bit interesting. Will Kennedy has 10 line breaks. Val has 7. Line break assists, Val has 17. Will has 15. Try assists, Will has 10. Val has 9. They're pretty close in those departments. Val has twice as many errors, 24, compared to Will's 11. And errors can be anything from kick errors to just dropping the ball to just errors.
Yep.
Will has kicked 10 more times in general play for 100 more meters. Will has forced 5 more dropouts. They've both missed 22 tackles and both tackled around 50 times.
Based on stats alone, super close.
It's super close, isn't it? Very depends what you want out of a fullback.
And they're different sort of players too, like Val's icing games with field goals.
What's the premiership merch there, mate?
It's a photo of you with someone.
His name's Bruce Springsteen.
I knew you
had filling
that
one. They're both super close in stats, but depends what you want. But I'll say this, Will Kennedy's going pretty good.
Will Kennedy's been playing NRL for how long? Compared
Third
to Val?
Year, maybe?
Exactly. I would say Will's better than Val.
The question is, okay, so you've answered the question. This year, Will is going better than Val.
Yes. And it's like, yeah, Val closes out a game with a 40-meter field goal, whatever.
Oof, twice.
But Will's engaging the line, putting pressure on, forcing dropouts, keeping the pressure on teams, and then his touches are setting up tries that are really good tries, and he's just only going to get better as the year rolls on. Val is just Val. He's going to stay at that level, I feel. That's my answer.
Okay.
I know you're a big Val fan and that hurt.
I'm a big Will fan.
I'm sorry.
Too. I'm a big Will fan too. I can't lose here. It's the
Val's not good. No, Val is good. I'm joking.
I just think that looking at these numbers, I'm impressed that Will is going as well as someone who I hold in the very high regard that's Valentine Holmes. So yeah. So Will's in the big time now. He's killing it.
But even just his kicking, like people probably don't even realize that Will's kicked that many times, forced that many dropouts.
I think defensively, Will might have it over Val right now. Mm. Wasn't always the case, but I think his defense as last line is probably more secure than Val's. Val tends to go for the big kind of interceptor.
Yeah.
Whereas
Will puts his body on the line.
Yeah.
So you're saying Will's better as well?
I'm not going to go on record and say that, but the silence might answer it.
The silence says that Shinazi just answered that with a yes.
I think Will's more consistent. He's been more consistent. Val's had a good, like, sort of 9 or 10 games.
So going back to Dave's question, is the 2021 Val Holmes better than 2021 Will Kennedy? That's a simple yes or no, Shinazi.
He's not better, no.
Oh, okay. There it is.
I didn't say he's worse. He's not better.
They're the same. Would you say they're on par? Stats-wise, they're pretty much
on par. Yeah. To be completely honest, you look at all the different things they bring. They play 2 different styles of game.
Absolutely.
In the same position. Yeah.
I just thought I'd force it out of you there and it didn't work.
It almost did. I'm sweating bullets. Sean says, hi, guys. Loving the pod, especially hearing the views of all your returning guests, like Gary Derber.
Thank you.
I know we just cracked the top 8, but what are the chances of getting into the top 4? Or are those top 4 sides too good and won't drop the points? Good question. Ambitious question. I think it's a bit out of touch now.
Panthers, Storm, no.
No, yeah, they're there.
Eels and who?
Is it Souths, maybe?
Souths, yeah.
So it's Eels, Souths, Roosters kind of is your competition.
Nah.
I'll say this. If two of those teams get major injuries and we don't, and we go on a roll and they don't, it's possible.
Yeah.
I think that top 6 is where I'd be looking, as in 6th, 7th, 8th. But you can't rule it out, Sean, but I think at this point, it's probably gone. To be in top 4, you sort of need to win 3/4 of your games at least.
Oh, 100%.
And what are we, 6
how many,
and 8
I
right
don't
now?
Have the ladder in front of me, but we'd be, like, what, 10 points at least behind some of those teams?
Yeah. Yeah, so
it's a long way to go.
There is
17, 16?
Yeah, there is a while to go, so that's why I'm not ruling it out.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'd say it's unlikely, Sean, at this stage. Thank you very much for your kind words. Nathan says, with Cam McInnes coming in to play lock next year, will Rudolph play off the bench or find a spot in the run-on side?
This is a tough one, isn't it? Because that's obviously his spot that he's locked down at the moment, Toby. So, you know, Cam McInnes is going to come in and slot straight into the 13 jersey, you'd think. I mean, Toby was an edge through Queensland Cup. Everything that he played up there was number 12. So, Wade and Toby in edges or... Would you put Britt or Toby on an edge with McInnes at lock?
I think without Sean Johnson there, I want to see how Britt's going to go playing on a different half.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Toby could do a really good job running it, almost in that David Fifita style, running at the smaller guys.
I feel like Toby has to be there, but at the expense of who?
He has to be there, yeah. Yeah, so... But does he get back to the bench?
Yeah, well, yeah, he can... jump onto that mid rotation.
The bench is so important. Yeah, I think people sometimes underplay bench roles. 100%. And if your bench is no good, when your bench is good, like we were frothing, was it last year or the year before when we had Hunt? It was last
Sifa, Royce.
Yeah, it was just, and Fifita was mildly fit. Like it was a great bench.
Absolutely. And it was the difference in a lot of games.
And it was exciting. When you don't have that, it's noticeable. So Toby to the bench is not
it's
the
not
end of the world.
A bad move, is it?
Yeah, like you'd play him on the bench as opposed to having Britt on the bench. But thankfully, that's Craig Fitzgibbon's problem. Kylie says, "I'm a big fan of Andrew Fifita's. What do you think will happen to him next year?" Thanks for the pod. We always tune in.
You started the show with rumors.
Yeah. Okay.
So, like, obviously, that's one that's kind of come up a little bit. What is going to happen to him? I think. Personally, that he'll still be there. I think he offers a lot off the field that people don't see, especially around the younger guys in the squad. Even just the fact that, you know, we talk about everyone's professionalism. He's getting told, you're going to play for the Jets this week. And he's like, 100% I am, let's go Jets. And he's racking up the minutes, trying to get his fitness up there to do everything he can to get back in the NRL side. I think he just needs to be there for the camaraderie and the lift that he gives the boys.
The flip side of that is he's on... what we think is $800,000 a year.
Even if we let him go, we're going to be paying a lot of that.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. I think that when a Fitzgibbon and a Mooney look at their accounting, so to speak, though, that becomes a headache.
Absolutely.
But as you say, you're going to be paying at least half of it if you ship him off somewhere. It's 1 year. In that 1 year, he could guide your Pelés and younger guys 100%. Through the tougher... NRL system. He is really good in the community at some levels, and you could get him to focus on that. You could almost try and get him into some sort of coaching capacity, as in a forwards coach or a mentor.
Yeah.
Plus, have him as backup. So I don't necessarily have a problem with him sticking around. We all know his history with us. It's hard to kind of speak ill of someone who's done so much for you. So,
well, with Chad gone, now we only have Andrew and Wade left from the 2016 team.
And we're not sure what's happening with Wade.
Exactly.
Without being dramatic. Like, that's the truth. So, the question, Kylie, is what's going to happen to him? We think that he'll stick around.
I think he'll stick around.
Yeah.
I'd like to see him stick around.
I can reveal this young Gary Dover without getting too
something.
Promising here. No, it's something. It's exciting for me. People have been in touch with Andrew, and he's... all being well, he's going to be coming on this show.
Really?
Yeah, he's going to have a chat.
How good.
And a kind of longer, like a face-to-face longer chat.
Yeah,
nice. Rather than just a media one where you and Rob Willis have got like your timer out and it's like, Shanaz, it's 7 minutes.
Wrap it up, Shanazzy, wrap it up.
I'm just at the intro. So hopefully, and I don't usually do this. I'm the one who doesn't tell you things, but hopefully Big Andy will be on the show.
I'm
going
to go back and tell him not to come on.
Oh, he's got his reason not to come on. But he'll be on. He's,
yes, he'll be on.
He knows about it and it'll hopefully be fun. So
that's good.
Terry says, looking forward to the pod. As always, thank you very much. Thoughts on last week's game. The end to our sets remained an issue and I thought some of SJ's kicks were questionable.
Some of his options weren't the best and some of his kicks weren't the best, but...
You know what, Terry and Gary, when you're kicking 99%
every
of the
single
time...
every single thing.
You can't necessarily, unless you're Andrew Johns, which he's not, you can't get them all right. But definitely take your point there, Terry, and we agree with that, that he needs to... Yeah, I think one of the things he's saying is there was no real attempt to pin the opposition in goal and build pressure. You know, you've sat with me at games. That's all I pretty much do is just go, repeat set.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of it. We don't see enough of that from
he's
the team this
dead
year.
The last couple of weeks a few times.
Yeah, and that They're is an moments. Attempt in trying to do that and just not quite getting it. So. Yeah. He says, finally, I hope to see Fifita again. I think he's been much maligned with little chance to prove himself.
Mm.
That's fair?
Yeah.
Is that fair?
I think so.
Well, it's topical. We're just talking about the big fella. Much maligned with little chance to prove himself.
But I think as well they're managing him throughout the season, which is a part of the big reason why he's gone to the Jets to play 60-plus minutes as opposed to here, have 14 minutes in the NRL. They're just trying to build him up, get everything right so that we can really hit it running home.
Terry says he loves hearing about the potential signings as well. So we've thrown a few at you in this episode, Terry, and I've got a feeling there's more to come in the weeks and months ahead. This one's very controversial. Up Fitz says, how did Blake Braley not make the top 20 of the hottest players in the NRL and Telegraph this week? That's it. I'm giving up footy.
I'm giving it up too. How can he not
I've given
top 20?
It up.
Seriously.
I saw some of the mugs in that top 20.
That's a joke. Give me some
I'm
of
not
names.
Giving you anyone. I'm not going to be an online or podcast bully, but I'm going to tell you, Blake is the equal best-looking man in the game along with...
Nico Hines. Both Sharks.
Ruben Garrick's a close second. And I've thrown you.
I love all these little man crushes you have throughout the NRL.
And the fact that...
Who made the list? Let's just wind it back.
It was in the telly.
Second.
I don't know which person it was.
Okay.
And we love the telly because they pay my bills. Well, more or less. The Murdochs pay my bills, so we
Thank
love
you,
the Murdochs. Thank you.
They pay some of my
they
bills
listen.
Too, if you like.
They listen. They hear everything. The fact Blake wasn't in there is an absolute travesty.
What a farce.
They've obviously never...
Seen him.
Been in his
at
presence.
All.
Well, yeah. So, I agree, up Fitz. It's just not fair. Greg says... Oh, so Greg wrote to us last week about podcasts, okay? Yep. And he mentioned a podcast called Good Assassins Hunting the Butcher. And I'd never heard of it, right?
What is this?
But he sent me a link during the week. And then there's a description of it. It's a part spy thriller, part detective case, part Holocaust history. This is the untold story of the epic Israeli spy mission to hunt down a savage, escaped Nazi murderer.
So is this legit? Is this true story?
I think
that sounds intense.
I think it's obviously, not obviously, I think it's based on some truth and they probably made it into a bit
slightly.
More. But it actually, even though it's not my go-to podcast style, it actually sounds pretty good. So I might give that a listen, Greg.
I'm
going to
give
some
it a
time.
Listen.
I do appreciate you getting back in touch with me because I had no idea what you were talking about last week. That is on me, not on you. Alf says, love the show, started listening last Christmas and haven't looked back since. Lifelong fan of the club, October 2, 2016 will always be my favorite lifelong memory, besides my wedding day and birth of my two children, of course. Well, Alf...
Good disclaimer to keep everyone on side, but we know the truth.
But, yeah, there's a but in there. You know, you can be honest with us.
It's a safe space.
That was my favorite day of my lifetime, so...
I love it.
I've got and done other things in my life, and it's still number one. Anyway, Alf, I'm not going to tell you how to live your life. Quick question for the show. This is a great question. What is the background of our theme song, Up Cronulla? I've been singing along since the late 70s, but I don't know who recorded it and when. Any history or background would be appreciated. So I did a bit of research.
You did this. I'm so glad because...
I didn't know and I was
knew
like...
a little bit, but you've gone in depth and I like it.
If I knew, I'd forgotten. And that's not that unsurprising because I forget a lot of stuff. But... We took the tune from a Czechoslovakian... I don't know why I'm laughing when I say that. It just looks funny.
Do we have any Czechoslovakian fans?
I don't know.
I need to look into that.
So, Czechoslovakian folk number. And it translates to the beer barrel poker.
Fitting.
So, later known, of course, as Roll Out the Barrel. So, the original lyrics were, Roll out the barrel, we'll have a barrel of fun. Roll out the barrel, we've got blues on the run. Zing boom...
Terrell.
ring out a song of good cheer. Now's the time to roll the barrel for the gang's all here. Good old cheer indeed, we say.
That's awesome.
So, Gary, in 1967, when our club was born,
yes,
there was a competition to produce the team song. The then principal of De La Cronulla, Brother John, formerly Brother Florence, wrote the new lyrics to the old tune that we just discussed and won the competition. And thus, that song became Up Up Cronulla.
How good.
What about this? What about
this
internet?
This is a story. How good is the internet, first of all?
So, you were telling me off air that you have a relationship with De La Salle.
I do. I went to De La Salle Carrying Bar and De La Salle Cronulla.
Yeah.
So, I'm a De La boy.
You and E.T.
E.T. Two greats of the club.
There you go, Alf. That's the story, we think.
We think. That is the story.
I wonder if Brother John is still hanging around.
Do you
wonder
know
what his family thinks.
Well, my wife's mum, my mother-in-law,
yeah,
she works at De La Cronulla.
Does she?
So I'm going to ask her.
We can ask a bit of research.
Let's find out.
They'd know about this legendary character.
Surely. I should really know about him, shouldn't I?
You'd think so. Probably see the next feature on Sharks Digi. Anyway, thank you so much, Al, for your support, and thank you for the question. As always, new listeners, Alf, go back and listen to 2016 Final Series podcast because it's a lot of fun. Adam says, I think Wade needs to call it a day and retire. He's obviously susceptible to concussion now. It's sad to see that happen. He then asks me a question about doing stats. He says, can you fill us in on how you actually work out run meters? Is it just a case of watching games in slow motion and making a bit of an estimate? Or is there a measurement program you use?
How do you do it?
It's a great question.
I'm interested too.
We do estimate with the field lines, but we do it over three or four processes. And by the final time we do it, it's what I'm going to call exact.
Now, say I grab the ball at the 20-meter line and I run 20 meters along the 20-meter line. I've made 0 meters, haven't I?
That's correct.
Good. Just checking.
Yeah, you have to go forward.
Good.
We do negative meters now that we're doing post-contact meters.
Okay, cool.
So it's quite a detailed and difficult process, especially now with post-contact meters because you're doing it all at once.
Yeah.
Post-contact actual meters. So
does someone, or someone has to do it live?
Yes.
So someone's dedicated job, they just sit there watching the screen, punching in numbers.
Someone's calling it and someone's punching it in, yeah.
Okay.
But they're not just doing meters, they're doing everything that
it's intense. Extremely stressful.
it might be stressful, but it's a stress you get used to. But
yeah,
it's a very specified talent. Like we've seen people come in and just go,
I cannot do
it. I know every player, I watch every game, and they just sort of crumble. Because it's not really commentating the game, you're commentating the actual stats and tasks of these players. You're not calling the game. I don't.
Brayley, dummy half pass.
Yes.
Woods,
yes.
2 meters, offload.
Yes.
Just like that.
Missed tackle.
Is someone also saying who's making the tackles?
Yeah.
So like last week it would have been like Brayley, dummy half pass, Woods, 2 meters, tackle Taumalolo.
Yes.
Wow.
And you have to do it at a pace where the other person can keep up. You can't just like.
Wow.
So it's quite a. It's a hard thing.
I didn't realize it was like that. That's interesting.
That's how spend your Mondays now, Gary, doing your fantasy because of people like that who do that.
How good. I'm going all right this year in fantasy, just quietly.
Thank you, Adam, for the question. Michael says, all I can say is someone get that man a cape, Super Willy.
Yes.
And we all know who that Michael is. So
don't we?
Congratulations that
your
main love in life is going so well. We got a music question from Bree. She says, Sam and guest, what was the first album you ever bought? Mine was Frog Stomp by Silverchair, Up Up.
How good.
Do you remember what's your first?
I feel like I do. I feel like the first one I ever bought was Limp Bizkit, Chocolate Starfish and the Hot Dog Flavored Water.
You're saying that with like cut off shorts and...
I'm pretty sure that was the first album I bought.
Is that like a big album of theirs?
I haven't listened to Limp Bizkit for a long, long time, so I don't know.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. I skipped over sports metal, got to be honest. I'm aware of it. I know all about it, but it just wasn't for me.
I wouldn't listen to them now apart from that album.
But no problem if you do.
But I love that album.
So you think that was the first
one? I'm pretty sure that was the first one I bought.
Mine was primary school. I've spoken about this before. Mine was an album called Born in the USA by the gentleman in that picture, Gary Bruce Springsteen.
I love it.
And luckily, he became like my hero in life. So it's just pure luck that the first thing I bought was something that I would love for the rest of my life. So
is he a pretty established artist?
Yeah. Yeah. He's going okay. Next we have... So Breeze was Silverchair's Frogstomp. How do you feel about Silverchair?
I never really listened to Silverchair, I'll have to be honest.
But you've heard the hits, right?
Well, I couldn't name them.
You couldn't name Tomorrow?
No.
Or you couldn't name...
If you hummed it or sung it or something, I'd probably know it, but...
You know, Freak or...
Yeah, I know that one. Yeah, that's a good one. Tick.
Yeah. You know Silverchair.
I know Silverchair.
Michael says, we sacked the coach... And it meant what exactly? The team is basically where I thought it would be, except we now have this cool new plan and have Nico Hines coming next year. What a weird season. What a weird competition. On that note, Gary and Michael.
Yes.
I saw and chatted with our former coach, John Morris. I think it was this week. Very recently, I saw him. We had a good chat.
At Mr. Paisley's, by any chance?
At Mr. Paisley's. Hey. And he's doing pretty good.
That's good.
We actually discussed... It was the night after the Cowboys game. It was a Saturday.
Yep.
And we actually discussed the game. I sort of didn't go there. And then he was talking about the game, which I thought was really nice.
Yeah.
He was pretty stoked.
I couldn't picture him doing anything else, really.
Yeah. And we talked about a few other things with what he's doing, what he's hoping to do. And, he's going pretty good. So he definitely appreciates the support that he's been given from part of the fan base and the media and that kind of thing. So looking good, too. As per.
He is. Mm. He's never looked bad.
He's a specimen.
He looks after the bod.
Anyway, Michael also says, Will Kennedy flew out of the field to get the ball back. He's so rad. I'm backing him for the Monty Porter medal. And basically all the awards. Gee, Michael looks ahead, doesn't he?
He does. I haven't even considered that, but...
Why not?
You know
Let's
what?
Let's do it. Like, let's give it to him now.
He's up there. He'd have to be up there.
Do you think it's weird that Woods has improved since he was told he wasn't wanted?
No.
No, I... agree. I know where Michael's coming from, but it's not
I think
not
it's weird.
Weird.
I know what he's saying. It's like he should have been playing like this the whole time, and why hasn't he? And 100%.
But now the question
it's like, it's
is
real,
it
and he needs to get it done.
Okay. No coffee on the show.
Sorry. No coffee on the show?
Coffee's okay. Coughing's not. Michael's looking ahead again. He says, by my count, the pass score for the rest of the year is 6 more wins to end in 12-12. Week one against the Roosters or Manly. We play the Broncos twice, the Dogs, the Tigers, the Warriors, and none of those sides are any good. I know we lost to the Bulldogs, but I don't see that happening a second time. If we win less, we won't make it.
The Warriors are a different side now. They've got a guy who's going to hear a play and know exactly where the ball's going.
That's a great point.
They also have Dallin Watene's the Lesniak at the back, you'd assume. Well, no, Reece Walsh. What do they do with him? See, if it was me, if I was the Warriors coach...
Isn't Dallin... He's like a winger now?
Yeah. I would have Reece Walsh at 5'8".
With Chaddy.
Next to Chad. And I'd put...
And who's
that
now? Oh, Nick
back. No, I'd put... Sorry, Roger back at fullback. And I'd put DWZ on the wing.
Well, the Roger's doing that thing for the good of the development of the kid, so...
No. He's a fullback.
I quite like him, the kid.
Reece Walsh is good. Mm. He won't be any good on Sunday, though. Let's just say that.
You don't know that.
I do know that. Go the Blues. Go the Blues.
We don't talk about State of Origin on this podcast. Excuse me. Steve says, I got a good laugh at my expense from the podcast last week. I stand by my comments. This is the only podcast I listen to. So Steve wrote to us and declared that he only listens to Sharkcast and nothing else.
How good, Steve.
And I don't think we razzed him, but we were like, oh, there's plenty more out there as well.
Don't listen to anything else.
Well, we appreciate it. That's for sure. He said, would teams and players play better if they only got paid if they won? Lose the game, zero money.
Interesting concept.
It's been raised before,
but then
and
what
it's happened
happens,
before.
Okay, I'm going to bring up round four. The Eels game, which we spoke about earlier. When we lose a whole bench, have no one but play our butts off, get $0. I think they deserve double for a game like that. That was all heart. Did not give up, only lost it in the last 10 minutes.
I hear what you're saying, and I hear what Steve's saying. Let's be fair dinkum. This will
never happen. I like the concept.
I got no problem with it in theory. I do think that players should be rewarded for their efforts no matter what. You do look at, for example, the Tigers in the weekend against Melbourne.
Wow,
and it's like,
what a
well,
game.
What do you guys actually deserve?
Probably $0.
Well,
you can pay some money back.
So it's an interesting question, Steve. The question is, would they play better?
I don't know.
Why?
But they're all so competitive. Even off the field, they're so competitive.
They are.
Most of them.
They are. All right. Shane says, Netstrata, which I believe is Cogra. I live in Shoalhaven, so obviously voted for the Wind Stadium to be our home for the next 2 years when we couldn't utilise Shark Park. Given the fan stance on Netstrata, is there any regrets of choosing Cogra over Wollongong? There's a large supporter base down here, and I even know some Illawarra-based league fans that lost their passion after the takeover. Okay, and he also says, I feel Cogra didn't get us one extra supporter or member, and the opportunity was lost. Keen to hear your thoughts. Thanks. Keep up the sensational work. Well, thank you for your kind words, Shane. Interesting question, topical question. Gary, do you have anything to say on this as a employee of the Cronulla Sutherland Sharks?
Cogra's been tough. Cogra's been real tough. Yeah, I wasn't like in those conversations of when we chose the stadium or what we're going to do. I get that it's the most closest ground to us. And would you have preferred to go to, like, say, a Bankwest purely based on this is the latest, most flashiest stadium you can go to and the experience is up there?
Personally, I would have.
Yeah.
And I've stated many times before I understand why we're at Cogra.
Yeah.
I've stated many times how much I dislike going there because it just stinks. That's just my opinion only. And but I still go. Like, it's I go watch the Sharks. That's what I do, right?
That's the thing. If you support the team, get to the games, because the thing that's happening now is no one's turning up to the games.
Yeah.
So we're looking at other opportunities of where we can take games because no one's coming to our home games.
And they're far away.
They're regional games.
Yeah. So you don't get to go to the
games. So if you want the games to be around, no matter where they are, rock up. Support the club.
I agree with that completely. I will say this, Gary, though. It's a struggle.
Oh, 100%. And I get it because I was a fan back in the day and the ease of living in Cronulla, walking to the club,
going straight back
to the Lee Stub,
though. Just not that.
But this is what a lot of my age group or my demographic are not going because it's so hard to get to the game.
Okay.
Then I've got to leave straight away and get somewhere else.
I'm not saying that. When I say it's a struggle, being there is a struggle. And that might be dramatic.
Yeah, that is so dramatic. So dramatic. What's the struggle about it? You just don't like the ground, is that?
Yeah, but even if you take away who frequents that ground historically, because that would be immature, I don't like the seating arrangements there. I think that the sight lines are not how I want to watch football. I don't feel a connection to the game when I'm there, unless I go stand on the hill or sit on the hill. But even then, being on a hill has its limitations. As a spectator only, I'm talking about, it's not the most pleasant place to go. I've seen some close wins there and I have celebrated in those moments, but have I thought about them since? Probably not. You know what I mean?
I know.
As a fan, it just hasn't been a great experience.
And that's where my disconnect probably comes in because I don't watch it from anywhere else except up in the media box.
Sure.
So I don't get the same experience as some of the people out there might get.
Yeah, but your media box is still 20 kilometres away from where your media box normally is at any other ground.
Also. Yeah, apart from the SCG, which is...
Apart from the SCG.
Wow.
So that's where my own personal struggle comes in. Other people have different struggles. To answer your question, I would much prefer a Bankwest because even though it would require more of an effort to get there for me personally, it would be worth it based on the two times I've been there.
So is it safe to say that if we're coming home 2022 to play games at PointsBet Stadium, we should see people turning out?
Well, if everyone whinging like me has a spine on them, then yes, they'll be coming out.
Good.
That's a great point. It's an absolute great point. I want Cogra to be filled. I'm going there. If I have to put up with it, everyone else has to put up with it. I shouldn't say that. I'm just a piece of crap.
Don't go there, shit.
My point is 2,000 or 3,000 people every game go there. And you know what? Some people love it. This is just my opinion. Some people love it. So would I prefer Wollongong?
That viewing experience is probably, if what you're saying is... You know, the sight lines and how far away the field is. Like, wind's probably better in that.
It is.
Aspect.
And the travel is different, but and longer, but not really, to be fair, Dinkum, I've said that twice in the show, significantly that much longer if you get a good run.
Yeah.
From where we are.
Yeah.
It's a tough one, man. Everyone's going to have a different opinion. I respect that.
PointsBet Stadium, 2022. Get there.
Better happen, Gary. People are starting to talk about it. Better happen. There better not be any...
There's lots of work going on behind the scenes, I assure you.
That was a long-winded talk about Cogra. Too much for me. But I do thank Shane for his message. Luke says, loving the pod. Was thinking about a previous podcast where I believe it was mentioned Blake Brayley played 5'8", coming through the ranks. Thoughts on a spine of Kennedy, Hines, Brayley, and McGuinness.
Wow.
Is this something potentially Fitz could look at? Cheers. Keep up the good work. Luke, I am not going to say that wasn't mentioned on this podcast, but I think I might have said, or someone might have said, that he definitely could play 5'8". I don't know if he definitely has. What do you think about spine, young Gary?
I don't see Brayley as a 7. I think he's just a solid middle defender, hooker. Great service out of dummy half. I wouldn't put him there. Wouldn't put that pressure on him.
No, I think in an emergency he could do it.
Oh, yeah, well. Yeah, absolutely.
Or if, you know, when everyone fell over.
Connor Tracy, Brandon Trindle.
Yeah.
Like,
but I think Luke's saying that Brayley has it in him to play that role. And
if he had to, he would.
Yeah,
and
I wouldn't
do
disagree.
A good job.
Yeah.
He'd do a good job.
It wouldn't be my go-to. I think he's going pretty good at number 9.
It's going to be interesting. Sorry, just cut you there.
Please.
What happens with McGuinness and Brayley if they interchange one another? If McGuinness slots in for 9
because Brayley
10, 15
doesn't really need it, but maybe for his long term, maybe that's something they're going to look into.
Hmm.
Could be like a fitness thing or a longevity thing.
Looking after the body.
Matt says, reporting for duty, Big Frankie is out for 10 weeks with a foot injury. Loving the pod, never miss it, always waiting for it. Thank you, Matt, for all
Thanks,
that.
Matt.
Got any more on that? Pele?
Pele, yeah. What's that funny little bone in your foot that you hurt and then it's a very long time to heal because the blood doesn't flow?
Come again?
Yeah, I don't know what it's called, but that's what he's done. So he's out for a little while because it just basically you need to rest it. And
was he running to the fridge to get food or something?
I have no idea. No idea. Not good because he was obviously just starting to kick off his NRL career and he got a few minutes under his belt, but now he's out for a very long time.
Will we see him this year, do you think?
He'll be back in the Jets side for sure. NRL, not sure because obviously Royce isn't far away. So you'd think Braden Royce, well, yeah, what's our bench going to look
Where
like?
Where is Royce at?
He's running around now. He's back out there doing everything he needs to do to get right. He'd be a couple of weeks away, I reckon. He'll definitely, I know there was talk online of, oh, Royce isn't going to play at all this season, but that's not true. He'll be back, and he's ready and raring to go. He just wants to get out there. He's itching.
Okay, Caleb has written to us and says, I have some doubt that we let Chad go without plans for the approximate 250K it frees up for the rest of the year. Do you know whether we have any plans to utilize the freed up cash, or was it us looking after a premiership junior and allowing him to play some footy whilst we move forward?
I think there's an element of goodwill there. I think it's like, you know, he deserves to be playing first grade and we'll let him go do that. But Moons is the type of guy, there's a plan in the background that he'd have something going on. So, yeah, we would have saved a bit of cash. This is the thing I don't understand how it works. It's like, do we need to now spend that this year, or can we bring forward someone's contract or
put it onto a kid's contract and upgrade him? I'm not sure. I mean, maybe you can ask Darren when you see him.
I will.
I know
he's
he doesn't
in the
talk
at
much.
The moment, but
he's in the bubble.
It was a question that I wanted to ask him because I wasn't sure how that works and I was interested in that. So,
okay.
If I find out, I'll let you know.
Excellent. We have a letter from Jordan. I like it. He says, I have to say my emotions are very mixed about the departure of the much maligned Chad Townsend. On one hand, I'm happy to see him go considering his age. We definitely got the best years out of him, and from here, he'll only slow down. On the other hand, he's a bloke who absolutely bleeds for the club and the badge, and that's pretty rare these days. He's a shark through and through, and people like that are liquid gold. You need those kind of people around your club, and I'm sure he'll be back in some capacity when he retires. But for now, we can thank him for everything he did. I agree with all that.
Absolutely.
He's our only premiership-winning local junior ever, and nobody can take that away from him. He's done it all in our jersey, and although he'll never wear the black, white, and blue again, we must recognise that he always gave 100%. However, since about 2019, his performances have been subpar, and it's time we parted ways with him. I believe it's best for him and best for us. I won't say anything bad about him anymore. He was never the most gifted, naturally talented footballer, but he was good enough to make it and then help bring us our first premiership. To that, I say fair play indeed. Good luck with the Warriors, Cowboys, and thanks for 2016. Up, up from Jordan. Jordan, you're a legend.
Some great points.
Beautiful points. I can't add too much to it, but I agree with all of it, and I completely thank you for that. Any thoughts on that, Gary?
Yeah, a lot of people and a lot of people who comment on it see the 80 minutes of football that Chad plays and they judge him on that. There's so much that he does off the field to get his game right and his body right. And we've said it that many times. Everyone said it. He's the ultimate professional. And to be the only local junior to win a comp for the club, and man, no one will ever take that away from him. And he's right. He bleeds black, white and blue. So it's sad to see him go, but he's done something that secures his family for the next few years, and he can look after them and look after himself, and we wish him nothing but the best.
Agreed, agreed. Danny has written to us and said, with SJ close to signing with Canterbury and Chad off to North Queensland, what do you make of the rumours we're looking to sign Connor Watson for the halves? Surely Trindle should have first crack next year. I like Watson, but he leaves me worried about creativity. Hines is a spark-type player, but he plays what's in front of him and doesn't set up for three or four players ahead. Danny, thank you for that.
Thanks, Danny.
I don't know if they're signing Connor Watson at all, and if they are, if it's for the halves.
I think it's the tricky situation of right now. So Tricky's playing the 14 role. I think that becomes Connor's go-to. He can play in the middle, as we mentioned earlier in the show. He can play fullback. He can play in the halves. And Tricky is an out-and-out halfback. So I couldn't see them playing Connor in front of Tricky, but who knows? Who knows? He's like, I've watched Connor's game this year a little bit closer because he's in my draft side in Supercoach. And he's got that much ability in different areas of the field that he's not a bad signing if we can pick him up. I just don't see him as a starting seven. I see him as the guy that's a bit like Connor Tracy right now. He can plug a hole wherever that hole may be.
I agree completely. Thank you very much, Danny, for correspondence. James has written to us.
What's up, James?
I have to say, like, and I say this every week, like, we have different ways of people getting in touch, which is great. Yeah. Sometimes there's even trickier situations where I'll get DM'd, but they go into like a spam kind of thing. And it's do you want this? And so I'm thinking exactly it's like some about. Nigerian, you know.
That happens to me a little bit too.
I should finish this sentence. Some Nigerian
scammer.
Prince looking for.
To give you the $1 million that you just won in the lottery.
Anyway, this is from James. So James, I found you and now we can back and forth. So we're all good.
Yes.
He said, I've been listening to the pod for a while but never gotten involved. So shame on you, James, but thank you for getting involved. I saw Pele out and about today and he had a boot on. I asked him what happened and he said, I think it might be fractured. That's a quote. Not sure if it's been released yet, but definitely something to keep an eye out for. Thank you very much, James.
Must have been an old one that you've missed, Shinazzy.
People are out there spotting Pele.
How good.
It's hard to miss.
He's a big unit. He's huge.
Big unit. Good unit. It's a shame that he's injured for so long after having a couple of good games.
Yeah, it is. But he'll be back. Very young.
He's super young.
He can have plenty more years under his belt in the NRL very soon.
Now, Gary, I think that's all the mail. If it's not, I apologize to whoever we've missed. We will find you and we will definitely read out your mail when it's found. So
yes.
I think it's all there, though. And that kind of wraps us up, Gary, because we don't have anything to preview this week. We don't talk about State of Origin on this podcast in depth. Who do you think is going to win?
Blues.
Okay.
100%. Easy. Easy win.
Do you think Queensland will improve on what they did?
No. I think they're terrible. I think they're going to crumble under the pressure.
Are they terrible or is New South Wales really good?
And it's a totally different game up at Suncorp. Obviously, they always live there and it's a hard arena to play any type of football in. But I think they've made some necessary changes. They made some interesting ones as well with Rhys Walsh at the back. But he's got some talent, that kid, and it'll be interesting to see how he handles it in that type of game.
Do you think that it's too much pressure on him after 7 or 8 games of NRL?
It's more about how he can handle pressure
mm-hmm.
because I feel like he's got the natural ability to be there and he probably deserves the spot.
Yeah.
But as we know, Origin's a different beast and all it takes is one moment where he's a little bit rattled and his whole game can crumble. So
yeah,
it's going to be interesting. But we don't talk about State of Origin.
Why is it a different beast? Because that always get the...
Did you see how fast the first 15 minutes of game one
were? I did.
That's insane.
So it's because it's the best of the best.
It's the best of the best.
Okay. Because sometimes I scoff at that statement. But then you're right. Like, those opening sets were ridiculous.
The pace was... I was just sitting there going, when is this going to end? When is this going to slow down?
Okay.
We should go to Huxley's, get some wings and watch the game.
Look, if Huxley's won... Yeah, we could do that. When is it Sunday?
Sunday night, yeah.
You're right. How's... I don't want to get too personal here, but how's Baby Watch going?
Baby Watch is on. I'm watching the phone every minute of the day.
You've missed three calls from Beck already.
Three, 4 weeks out, so baby number three.
Excellent.
Coming in hot.
Good
luck.
Don't
know what it is, boy or girl. So stay tuned.
Do you have a preference for what gender it is?
No.
Got one of each already?
As long as they're healthy, got one of each, yeah. Little girl Bonnie and a little boy Arlo, so very blessed and lucky there. And
you are.
We'll see what happens next.
All right. What else can we talk about your life?
What else do you want to know?
So who have we got next week?
Broncos.
Broncos away on Sunday, 2 yep. o'clock Sunday week.
Yep. Couple of Sunday games coming up.
You know what I don't like about that?
What?
How desperate the Broncos are going to be. The good thing about it is they're conceding 50 points a game. So
they're terrible.
They are.
If we can't win this, we're in all sorts.
We have to be on our game, though, because they'll come out all guns blazing.
Yeah, but everyone should. We should expect that from every team that we play.
That's a good point. Who did they lose to by a million? They lost 46-0 to South last week. The opening 10 to 15, were they okay?
I feel like the Broncos do that nearly every game. They sort of hang in there and play like, oh, okay. The Broncos have turned up tonight. And
so we need to start
in,
well.
The floodgates open.
We need to start well and finish that half.
Stick
well
to our plan, which I'm sure we're working on. And
yeah, okay.
If we can stick to our systems and our plan, we'll be right.
I think you're right. Like, we should.
It's a game we should be putting away.
The win.
If we want to finish in the eight, this is a no question game.
Yeah. Our defense is slowly getting better each week. Numbers are getting better.
I was reading, I think you sent the stats, we're one of the least penalised or ruck infringement teams in the comp.
Discipline's getting a bit better.
So it's all sort of turning around to where it needs to be.
It does come down to those individual players. Like if a couple of people, and it's not the same guys every week, thankfully, but if you can just not be penalised, especially, because it's all about possession now, the game. So, the team is slowly improving. And shout out to Josh Hannay for that.
Doing a good
job.
And
his crew.
Yes.
All right, Gary, I know that you got a million things to do.
You do too, don't you?
I got some
What's
things to do.
What's up for you? What's happening for Shinazzy the rest of the day?
Oh, you know.
Be this, be that.
I'm not talking about myself in this podcast. We're going to talk about our guests, our guest hosts. I've got to do shopping.
Where do you shop?
A variety of two supermarkets local to me. What else am I doing? I'm working on a few projects, arty type projects, creative projects.
Nice.
And... one of those involves FaceTiming meetings with people overseas in Los Angeles, California. So that's very exciting.
Nice.
Getting the time.
How good. Yeah, it's a bit of a juggling act, isn't it?
It's scary. But, so that's keeping me busy. And I've got a lot on my plate, like everyone in this world, Gary.
Yes.
I am no different, and I'm certainly not special.
You're just a humble man.
My mother always said I was special. Do you find it strange that your father wears sneakers in the pool? Yes. Gary, we could do Seinfeld skits all day, but we're not going to. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you again soon. Good luck in the digi world.
Thanks very much.
Keep Oscar on his toes, will you?
I will. I always do. He needs it.
And we're going to play the song because we won. So this one goes out to, who's the chap that wrote it?
Brother John from Dila Cronulla.
Okay.
Shout out to
him. Dedicate it to him.
How good.
Without him, we don't have it.
There would not be enough up Cronulla.
Okay. We will speak to you all next week. As they say in the classics, up, up Cronulla.
Up, up Cronulla, the boys in the black, white and blue. Up, up Cronulla, name of the sharks bit you. Sharks, sharks forever. Go out and play without fear.
time to see good football. For the Sharks are here, up the Sharks.